Our reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 9 and read down through verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 9. Paul said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Paul, as he writes these words, is in prison. He knows he will die soon. In his own words, he says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He was ready to die, and he had been ready to die for some time. In Acts 21, verse 13, Paul told the brethren, "For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." In Philippians 1, 21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul was not afraid to die. And as he wrote these last inspired words, there were certain people that he wanted Timothy to know about. Some of these men were disappointing, and others, or at least one other, was encouraging. And in this lesson, I want to look at three of these names that Paul mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in his parting words. The first one is Demas. In verse 10, Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, this is a sad story, but it's a true story about this Christian man. We don't know when or where he was baptized, but it was during a time of great growth in the church. And he worked faithfully in the church. He traveled many miles, and he worked with some very well-known faithful gospel preachers. But somehow, at some point, he took his mind off the goal, and he started thinking about what the world had to offer, how much fun it would be, what he was missing, and how available all this was to him. And the more he thought about it, the more he wanted it, evidently. The Bible says in James 1, verse 14, that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that apparently is what happened to Demas. At first, he thought about it. Then he dwelled on it. Then he began to want it. And he grew to love it, and he ended up doing it. Now, the interesting thing about this man is that we do see a timeline in the New Testament of the story of this man, Demas. In the book of Colossians, chapter 4, we find Demas mentioned in verse 14. Paul says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." So there in Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14, this Demas is mentioned as a fellow worker, so apparently he was faithful at that time. Then if you'll turn to the small book of Philemon, in Philemon verse 24, Paul mentions some of these fellow workers in the gospel with him, and so apparently these men are very faithful at this time. In Philemon verse 24, he mentions Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So here at this point in the book of Philemon, you find that Paul again says that Demas was a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, which was apparently written sometime later, perhaps years later, Paul says that Demas had left him. And the reason that Demas had forsaken Paul was not because Demas was out there preaching the gospel in some other place. He left Paul because he loved this present world. Even though Demas knew the Apostle Paul, who was an inspired apostle and who worked all these miracles, still Demas was tempted by the pleasures of this life. And we might look at Demas and think, well, what did he have that would pull him away from the gospel 2,000 years ago? What kind of excitement did the world offer back then? Well, it offered basically the same kinds of things that it offers today. Demas didn't have access to some of the inventions and some of the technology that we have today, but the same basic sins pulled at him that tempt people today. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So John says that basically temptation boils down to these three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And there have been many people who have been baptized into the Lord's church who have fallen away and lost their souls because of the worldly pleasures that they saw around them. Now, this is why the Bible warns about this so many times. In James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James chapter 4, verse 4. So here Paul is in prison, awaiting execution, needing help from fellow Christians, and he's already said that some have run out on him, and he says that Demas has left him, he's left him behind. And why? Because Demas was more interested in the world and its pleasures than he was in helping the great Apostle Paul. What a sad story, especially for Paul, but even more so for Demas, because unless he repented, he ended up losing his soul for those worldly pleasures. Now, the second person that we're going to look at is in verse 11, and this is Mark. Now, this is a more encouraging story, and it's a different kind of change than what we read about with Demas. In fact, it's just the opposite. If this is the same Mark that is mentioned in Acts chapter 13 and also in Acts chapter 15, he had also changed, but for the better. So let's turn back to Acts chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse 2. Acts 13 verse 2 says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And then the Bible says in verse 5, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Now, as they're doing this work, the Bible tells us in Acts 13, verse 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Now, you might say, well, I thought we were talking about Mark here, and we're reading now about John. Well, the book of Acts chapter 15 clears this up for us, because this John is the same one that Paul is talking about that he calls Mark. The Bible says in Acts 15, let's begin reading in Acts 15, verse 36, after this first missionary tour was over, the Bible says in Acts 15, verse 36, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." So John and Mark are the same person. So the Bible says that Barnabas thought it good to take John or Mark with them on this next missionary effort. Now, one of the things to remember is that Barnabas and Mark were related. They were kinfolk. Colossians 4, verse 10 tells us that Mark was Barnabas' cousin. So here the Bible says that Barnabas wanted to take him, but Paul didn't agree with that. The Bible says in verse 38, "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." So Paul didn't think it was a good idea to take Mark again because Mark had dropped out of the work before. He had stopped, he had quit right in the middle of the work when they needed him. And so Paul says he's not reliable, he's not dependable, and we don't need to take him with us. So Paul and Barnabas got into an argument. And the Bible tells us in verse 39, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." So what we're finding here then is that that happened earlier. And this is years later that Paul is writing the book of 2 Timothy. So this man, Mark, began, and Paul was not convinced that he was really a dependable worker in the church. Now, he didn't say that he's lost. He didn't say we ought to withdraw fellowship from him. He simply said he's not the one for this work. But now, at the end of Paul's life, Paul says that he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, that's not how he felt in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, Paul didn't think that he was profitable. So here at the end, Paul says that he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, this shows two things. It shows that people can change. Mark did. Mark grew. Mark improved. Mark learned better, and he was doing better. So it does show that people can change if they want to. And it also shows that a person can change his opinion about somebody else. Paul did. Paul's estimation of Mark in Acts chapter 15 was that he was not really a reliable man to take on this trip. But now he says, you can depend on him and he is profitable for the ministry. The third man that we're going to look at is Alexander. This is the man that Paul mentions in verse 14. He calls him Alexander the coppersmith. Paul did mention an Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20. Are they the same? Is this Alexander the same as the Alexander in 1 Timothy 1 verse 20? Well, the Bible just doesn't say. What does Paul say about this man? Well, he said he did me much evil. Paul doesn't go into detail about that, but he does say that this man did a lot of wrong things to him. And he also says he has greatly withstood our words, that is, our words of our teaching and our preaching. That's in verse 15. So this man resisted the gospel. He fought against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what does Paul say about him? Remember now, these are some of the last words of the Apostle Paul. How does Paul talk about this Alexander the coppersmith? Does he say, I'll get even with him one of these days? No. He simply says in verse 14, I'm going to leave that in God's hands. I'm going to let God deal with him. The Lord reward him according to his works. And also, Paul said, Timothy, you be careful about that man. You beware of him and you be on guard about him because of what he has done in opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible shows that it's good and wise to be on guard against evil men. In Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's the same kind of wisdom that Paul wants Timothy to have in these final parting words.